Running a business is hard work. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI. From site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want the way you want. And manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and the business tools you need to succeed. Let your ideas flow with AI that guides you but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Do it yourself. Go to Wix.com.
Balenciaga has a mannequin that looks exactly like Isaiah Bass.
So this is a store in Paris. This is a man's store in Paris. And this is a mannequin.
How many bodies are in these statues out here? Because we're not just running around doing CT scans on all these statues. Are there bodies in the statues? Yes or no? The Uncanny Valley thing needs to be brought back. Is what I'm trying to say. The uncanny, you need to be able to identify real and fake stuff. My son's body ended up on public display in a body museum instead of being cremated like I was told. Bodies are going missing all the time. It's insane how many bodies go missing.
Hey everybody, guess who? It's me, Joanna. They gave me a little upgrade, I guess you could say. Hello, citizen. This content creator is a confirmed conspiracy theorist and has been subject to repeated penalties for engaging in controversial rhetoric. Please proceed with caution. Trust the government. Remain silent. Your compliance is appreciated and, of course, non-negotiable. As always, I am the AI Overwatch assigned to the 21 CD podcast as a censorship agent. Here for your protection and the protection of the greater Commonwealth.
January 2021, the Art newspaper published an article suggesting that executed Chinese prisoners might have been used in a UK-based anatomical exhibition. The piece proposed that the bodies on display, plasticized to reveal muscle groups, organs, and vascular intricacies, were not necessarily donated by consenting individuals. The implications were dire. Visitors believing that they were engaging in harmless education might actually be peering at the remains of people who were victims of an extremely brutal and corrupt system. A similar concern surfaced in a 2006 NPR report examining the origins of bodies in popular traveling shows.
Hi, I'm Louise, and today we are at the Body World exhibition in Piccadilly Circus, an exhibition focusing on the human body.
Now, while these displays are often presented as artistic or educational marvels, critics do question the moral and ethical lines that are blurred by sort of transforming human remains, potentially obtained through coercion, into sensational attractions. When you think about these traveling cadaver exhibits with questionable sourcing, this is a petition on change.org. Demand DNA test of the Thinker model at Real Bodies, the exhibition at Bally's. The issue sent to the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton and a bunch of other people, including the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and all that kind of... This is a major petition. And it goes, the description goes like this. Today marks 10 years since my 23-year-old son was tortured and murdered with cyanide poison at his grandmother's house in Midlothian, Texas, on November 10th, 2012. The time of his death is unknown, and the manner of death has been changed three times. First ruled a natural death until the medical examiner found cyanide poison in his blood, and then he changed the manner of death to undetermined and suggested further investigations by Midlothian, Texas police. But, of course, they refused and closed the case after ruling the death as a suicide without investigation. The last 48 hours of Christopher Todd Eric's life was never questioned by police. So the family stepped up to answer these questions that had been left unanswered. And no one has ever been held accountable for this crime. Although Christopher is entitled to justice for his murder, that is not the purpose of this petition today. According to the medical examiner, Christopher suffered two separate heart attacks, each one day apart before his life was finally ended. The ME stated that he suffered a long, drawn-out death. He fought. Crime scene pictures revealed a restraint chair present with restraint straps hanging from the chair and matching restraint marks on the body across the arms, chest, and legs. The right temple area of Christopher's skull was bashed in. Crime scene pictures also reveal dry cyanide salt present on his lips. According to Amazon.com, the facilitator of the purchase of cyanide poison, the person who purchased the cyanide, was the paternal grandmother, Patsy Wooten Eric. At the time, the grandmother stated that she was dying of a breathing disease, which often left her struggling for a clean breath and without choking. But we're not here today to question whose healthy lungs Grandma's breathing with today. Grandma insisted on paying for Christopher's funeral, but gave him no funeral at all. Not even a preacher to say a prayer over his dead body. Nothing. I signed paperwork agreeing to have my son cremated. I was given a necklace which I was told contained my son's remains. There were serious concerns with this funeral home from the start, wanting me to hurry and cremate him. 10 years after requesting this paperwork from the Chisholm Smith Funeral Home in Irving, Texas, I was only just recently sent the alleged paperwork, but it did not match the signature of the grandma, nor did it list the correct purchases made. Considering the manner in which we were treated and the manner in which Christopher was thrown on a stretcher for viewing, his hair a mess, dried blood under his chin, and buck naked with only a drape pulled up to it under his chin, and the fact that Christopher's eyeballs appeared to be missing when we saw him during the visitation at the funeral home because both eyelids were badly sunken in, Chisholm Smith Funeral Home should be investigated for their part in how my son's body ended up on public display in a body museum instead of being cremated like I was told. After Christopher's murder, we located Stephen Todd Eric's, Christopher's biological father's, financial connection to a human tissue harvesting company, along with Christopher's stepmother, Tanya Pevsner Eric, who was also briefly a financial advisor. The financial investment was with a charity called Student Discipleship Ministries. But at the same address was Axygen, which is a nerve tissue harvesting company. Afterwards, we learned of a specific relationship Christopher had with someone who's on the board of another plastinated body museum. Thinking we would never find anything, we started looking for a plastinated body with this same skull fracture as what we saw on Christopher, when we found a news article written by Megan Palin at news.com.au. Real Bodies, the exhibition controversy about disturbing origins of corpses. The picture of the plastinated body with this same head injury in the same location of the head. The face was and is undeniable. It was Christopher. That's my son. He was posed as the thinker at Real Bodies, the exhibition in Nevada. During the process of plastination, all tattoos are cut from the body to keep the identity hidden. Christopher's cross tattoo that was present on his chest at his death has indeed been cut out, leaving a cookie-cutter image of his cross. The purpose of this petition today is to demand proper DNA testing of this skinned, gutted, and butchered body, which I know is my only son, Christopher Todd Eric. His body is currently on public display at Real Bodies, the exhibition at Bally's in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is our wish that his body be properly identified by DNA and for his remains to be properly laid to rest with peace, privacy, and dignity. Please do not allow these people to continue to benefit financially from keeping Christopher's murdered body disgraced and on public display. Kim Eric Smith, the mother. That's crazy. Do you know where your dead one is? Your dead one? Wow. Do you know where your loved one who's passed away is? If you got them cremated, do you know for a fact they were cremated? Look, when you have these cadaver exhibits and scientists and museums taking just any bodies that are offered to them, who's to say that some disgruntled worker at your local funeral home didn't sell your grandma's body for $5,000? But this macabre fascination with the displayed dead is not a new phenomenon. Across time, people have preserved corpses for reasons both sacred and profane. Mummification is a practice most famously associated with ancient Egypt, where the ritual achieved a near-mythic status. But centuries before the Egyptians refined their embalming arts, the Chinchorro people of Chile's Atacama Desert mummified their dead, and that was over 7,000 years ago. So, although the Chinchorro technique was older, it is the Egyptian tradition that has kind of seized public imagination, and there, mummification became kind of this elaborate tapestry of ritual, magic, and theology. One might argue that Egypt's allure lies in the extraordinary depth of its spiritual narrative, right? We talk about that a lot on this podcast, and we've even mentioned how it's so strange that all of these mysteries and conspiracy theories somehow lead back to Egypt. The myth of Osiris, slain, dismembered, and resurrected, entailed a promise that any human being, not just the pharaohs, could partake in eternal life if certain rites were performed. According to world history, many ordinary Egyptians believed that through the same rituals, they too could join Osiris in the afterlife. The cycle of rebirth became a defining aspect of Egyptian identity, and it gave rise, if you look at the Book of the Dead, you can see how seriously they took this stuff. Just don't get sucked in too deeply. That's what she said. The cycle of rebirth became a real defining factor of Egyptian identity, and mummification was not solely about preserving this physical husk. It was the earthly preparation for transcending mortality. Centuries later, the world is still enthralled by these practices, seeing them as a manifestation of an almost forbidden knowledge. An intersection of religion, magic, and science that is only dimly understood. You guys remember a few episodes ago when I talked about how the original explorers, the white man, the Europeans who went to Egypt, they found all the mummies and then they sent them back to their European lands where people were eating the mummies to heal their ailments, allegedly? That's kind of crazy, right? Such practices, though, were not just isolated to Egypt. A shocking story surfaced when a CT scan revealed the remains of a mummified monk inside of a ancient Buddha statue. And you guys might have heard this story before, but the discovery jolted researchers into realizing that even in cultures where mummification was not the norm, there were secret traditions, special relics, or cryptic rites of some type that aimed to preserve certain individuals in death or use certain individuals as sacrifices. And in some cases, their presence seemed to still matter in the realm of the living even after they were gone. How many bodies are in these statues out here? Because we're not just running around doing CT scans on all these statues. Are there bodies in the statues? Yes or no? How many? Let's make like Black Lives Matter and just go around destroying statues and see if we can find any bodies in them. In more modern and often bizarre contexts, tales of real bodies masquerading as mannequins do keep sprouting up. One of the most famous urban legends is that of La Pascualita. People in Chihuahua, Mexico have claimed that for decades, this bridal shop figure, she was so lifelike that her eyelashes and fingernails appear heartbreakingly real when you really think about it. But they say that she's actually the embalmed body of the previous owner's daughter. And though the shop denies such rumors, visitors and locals alike are still kind of like entranced by this thing, and their discomfort is fueled by the possibility that a beloved mannequin could be hiding the truth of a fully preserved corpse. Allegedly, what happened was she was preparing for her wedding or something, and she ended up dying. And so the mother, stricken with grief, actually had her essentially mummified and put her in this dress, and they put her in the window. And people will come by the busload to see this corpse bride, this real life corpse bride in the window. It is but one reflection of a larger human unease with figures that look human but are not. And from dolls and robots to clowns and wax sculptures, the sense of the uncanny valley is kind of always there. Humans are able to somehow tell when something is real and when something is fake. At least I thought so. Nowadays, you see all these guys. I'm not judging anybody. I'm online 100% of my life, and I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. If you guys are being fooled by all this AI imagery and you guys really think a bunch of these pictures of people who are obviously AI people who are made by a random image generator, if you guys aren't seeing that stuff as AI, you need to go look at a lot more of it so that you can figure out that it's AI, so that you're not getting brainwashed. Because I see so many people who see AI imagery online and they're like, wow, that's real. God bless. I'm rooting for you. It's like a soldier missing a leg, and they're like, yeah, God loves you. Thanks for your sacrifice. It's a literal AI image. So make sure that you guys are actually able to discern the difference between AI and real life. The uncanny valley thing needs to be brought back, is what I'm trying to say. The uncanny, you need to be able to identify real and fake stuff. Modern psychology might explain away this whole concept of the uncanny valley, but alternative thinkers push a better narrative, and that's that humankind has this kind of primal dread that is within them, and it stems from frequent encounters in our distant past, our ancestors' past, with a human-like, non-human predator. A predator that looked like a man but was not one. On this podcast, we call them the Nephilim. They are from the Watchers, the fallen angels who forced themselves to create this new being by mating with human women. It's my idea that over the centuries, they have perfected this craft to the point of creating the NPC, which are individuals who, in my mind, according to my theory, they pass as regular people. They look like regular human beings, but they're not. They're essentially like 99% human beings. And I'm not singling out any group. I'm not saying any one of you is an NPC or any one of them is an NPC. I'm just saying they're out there and somebody is an NPC. I think there's millions of them, if not billions of them. And they can be activated at any moment. Reminiscent of mind control experiments like MKUltra. Strange as it sounds, real CIA documents do confirm that MKUltra was, in fact, an official project. They were testing drugs on people. There was psychological manipulation going on. There were experiments that are absolutely detestable to figure out how to mind control people on large and small scales. So if that was merely the tip of the iceberg, who is to say what deeper manipulations might be quietly at work? And also, that was years ago. This stuff does not just go away. It changes names. And it becomes something bigger, more dangerous, and more hidden the longer that it's out there. Other stories only fan the flames. There's a website called What's Up Nigeria, which basically gives Nigerian news, and it once covered a man who stole human body parts, believing they held magical properties. capable of healing his swollen leg. A lot of the religions and beliefs that come out of Africa involve this type of idea, especially Nigeria. This is something that I've covered before on the podcast, and this is something that I will probably cover again on the podcast, because there is this obsession, especially in voodoo and stuff like that, with using human parts to heal your ailments. It's weird, it's wrong, and it's cannibalism. This is a trick implanted on us by the supreme evil, you know, the devil, whatever you want to call it. And of course, to modern skeptics, this just sounds like superstition, but there are thousands of articles like this, and I'm just choosing this one. If we track back through medieval Europe, or the cult of saints' relics in the Catholic tradition, or the widespread use of mumia, ground-up mummy dust, as a medical ingredient in centuries past, we've talked about that, it is clear that we have never really quite shaken the idea that something transcendent clings to the preserved dead. Then there's the whole macabre saga of Elmer McCurdy. And if you guys haven't heard this one, this is a rough one. He was an outlaw who died in a shootout in 1911. McCurdy's corpse was embalmed and displayed in carnivals for decades. And over time, he became just another prop in the carnival. By the 1970s, everybody just believed that he was literally just a painted dummy. But a film crew discovered otherwise when one of his limbs snapped off. His arm fell off, and it exposed the bone. You want to go even deeper into the nasty? There was a worker who allegedly stuck his McCurdy's dead in his mouth repeatedly, thinking it was some kind of game, thinking it was a funny joke. He would take pictures, send it to his friends. Yeah, he had to go through 2 years of therapy, allegedly, when he found out that Elmer McCurdy, the fake body, the dummy, was not so fake after all. That is freaking nasty. Yeah, so, and then, this story is actually crazy. It takes an even more disturbing turn when a young boy showed up named Mark Taylor. He came to see to the carnival, and he allegedly stumbled upon McCurdy's body in this carnival, only to realize that the dummy was literally a real human corpse. This kid was like, that's a real body. Mr. Mark Taylor, he was like, even as a child, he's like, I could tell that's a real body. So traumatized, he grew up, and he became a toy designer. And channeling that haunting memory of Elmer McCurdy, he created an undead-like figure for a toy line, which would become the iconic supervillain Skeletor. Skeletor is literally modeled after a corpse-turned mannequin. That is crazy. A true story of one. Just yet another example of how we exploit them for spectacle, but recoil in horror when confronted with the truth. Dolls, clowns, mannequins, they sit at the intersection of whimsy and dread. And some theorize that the universal fear of these kinds of figures is not simply just because of childlike imagination, but from some kind of evolutionary holdover, like a literal primal instinct that helped early humans detect imposters, be they predatory hybrids or something much worse.
So for a long time, humans believed that we only feared two things naturally, the dark and heights. Because of evolution, that's just ingrained in our brains that that's something we need to be afraid of. There's one more thing that we are afraid of that I think is a major issue that we just overlook a lot. Things that are human-like, but aren't distinctly human, such as dolls, mannequins, etc. You see babies, small children, even grown people that are terrified of these things. Now, babies and small children, they don't have time to learn that fear. They didn't watch movies like Annabelle to be afraid of dolls. But they're still afraid of them. That means that at some point in our history, we had to evolve to be afraid of things that were human-like but weren't human. Which in my mind means that there was a predator that looked like us but wasn't.
The notion of the Nephilim resurfaces here, fueling these sort of ideas about half-human entities that could have led to NPCs in our modern time that can be activated, that are still living among us, and they're set to spring into motion at the beck and call of whoever the hidden puppet masters are. And you can look at my videos, The Life is in the Blood, which I put out on Monday, or They Watch from Every Dark Corner, which I put out last week. There's a lot of stuff about this on there. Now I get it, all of this can feel like just disjointed paranoia, but even the most skeptical observer should pause when confronted with uncanny real-life scandals. Scandals that seem to point towards a hidden network that profits from this ambiguous realm between life and death, or harnessing old eerie energies for nefarious gain, eating human body parts. We just talked about that in the Lady Gaga episode. Or, you know, like carrying around body parts, like Jared Leto carrying around his own head. There's just things that are naturally messed up that we as humans have just, especially in the West, mainly in the West, we've come to just be like, yeah, that's normal. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, we like that. Oh man, did you see what Kylie Jenner wore tonight? It was her own head. Wow! It's kind of weird. But we gotta ask ourselves what's really going on when they're constantly doing all this stuff. And it is here, in the realm of big money and global branding, that Balenciaga emerges like an ominous silhouette on the horizon. When the name Balenciaga arises, many just think of high fashion, of runway shows and gilded halls, A-list celebrities flaunting avant-garde designs, the House of Balenciaga under a large luxury conglomerate. The House of Balenciaga, because remember guys, this goes back. Balenciaga is like an 1800s company. Like, these guys have deep, long-standing ties to some very dark people and places. Anyway, as I was saying, the House of Balenciaga, under a large luxury conglomerate known as Kering, boasts a storied legacy dating back to Cristobal Balenciaga, once deemed the master of us all by Christian Dior. And over the decades, Balenciaga cultivated a reputation for boundary-pushing style, creative innovation, and a certain aloof mystique. But recent controversies pulled back the curtain a little bit, unsettling even the most jaded fashion insiders. And I promise I'm not just picking on Hollywood and you know, whatever goes on in California and elsewhere these days, but it's just kind of happening that way. It's like the conspiracies that I've been looking at are all pointing to the same people. It's just really, really weird, and I'm sure you guys can connect the dots on your own. So I saw these murmurs online about a designer named Isaiah Bass, and some people get this mixed up. Some people say it's Christopher G. Christopher G is a model for Balenciaga, not the designer known as Isaiah Bass, who allegedly vanished under highly suspicious circumstances after accusing Balenciaga of stealing his designs. The mainstream press offers very few details, of course, because Balenciaga probably pays them off, and the brand itself really gives no comment either. But essentially what happened is Isaiah Bass designed this jacket, Balenciaga stole it, he called them out, they said, come to France, work with us. So he said okay, he was really stoked, he went to France. He updated his social media, hey yo, I'm in Paris, I'm about to go meet with Balenciaga, and then he disappeared without a trace. Radio silent. And he's missing to this day. And the questions that are asked are, did Balenciaga pay him to disappear? Or did Balenciaga disappear him? Is he a mannequin? Because, shockingly, a mannequin of his exact likeness appeared in Balenciaga's flagship store.
Okay, people, tell me something. So this is a store in Paris. This is a man's store in Paris. And this is a mannequin that they say that they made this shit and put this in the store. This boy look like somebody dead and bomb. Look at his hand. Wait, I'm doing it through the hole. Look at the boy hands. His hands is as real as mine. This is freaking serious, I swear. If anybody have this guy missing. If anybody have this guy missing, please. This is crazy. I've never seen anybody look so freaking real. How you have this man in another store sit down? Look. Look at that shit. You see? This is freaking crazy. Look in the guy's eye. And them said they made this mannequin and put clothes on him and have him sit down in the window. Look at the guy friggin' face. This look like the friggin' guy who was in the school basketball court inside the school where them kill and take out him kidney. I swear to God. No, yeah, guys, this, he's in Paris. If you know anyone not missing a black son, look like this, he's in Paris in the store in the window.
That is very strange, guys. So some speculated that Bass had been secretly silenced. Maybe he was hired. Maybe he was paid off. Maybe he was sent away under a different name. But others obviously speculate on more sinister possibilities, like tying his disappearance to unethical or outright occult activities within the high fashion world. We know they're there. Have you guys heard of Marina Abramovich or Lady Gaga or any of these types of people? Yeah, it's the same clan. Lady Gaga is literally like one of the ambassadors for Balenciaga, if I'm remembering correctly, or at least Gucci. She was even in that movie. Wasn't she in House of Gucci? Like, this is all the same family, all the same fam bam. Now, all this talk might have remained in the realm of niche conspiracy if not for Balenciaga's explosive scandal involving children. Near the end of 2022, I'm sure some of you guys remember this, it was freaking crazy. The brand released this ad campaign featuring minors.
So here's the first thing I came across. Photos of little kids with teddy bears. But these teddy bears are draped in straight up BDSM gear. Yeah, that's a plush bear in a black thong and a leather harness. In a messy kid's room is a bear in fishnet stockings with a padlock around its neck, and a child's drawing of the devil behind the little boy. This image also has caution tape with the word Balenciaga, a play on the name of the brand and the name of a demonic Old Testament Canaanite god who demanded child sacrifice. Why is this child half asleep on the couch while several wine glasses are blatantly displayed in the foreground?
Children posing with plush bear bags adorned in bondage-inspired gear, some of them in bondage-inspired gear themselves. Public outcry was very massive, very swift, global. It was an intense thing. Forbes noted that Balenciaga's apologies were they fell totally flat, and a large portion of the public was completely unconvinced by any claims of ignorance or accidental oversight, because Balenciaga basically blamed the photographers and the designers, and they said it's their fault, they made it. And it's like, it's your platform, you're selling it, you're profiting off of it. What are you talking about? So why were these images produced in the first place? That's what I want to know. Who signed off on them, and how could such blatant symbols find their way into a major advertising campaign? Right? At a superficial level, it appeared to be just totally a tasteless marketing ploy, maybe a misguided attempt at edginess. But within these alternative-minded circles, this scandal struck a chord that vibrated with much deeper allegations that, like, certain fashion houses literally dabble in the macabre and they do these occult rituals and all that kind of stuff. They exploit vulnerable groups. They flirt very closely with occult and satanic ways to sort of drum up clandestine power and edginess and attract certain elites and all that kind of stuff. It all ties back to the broader puzzle. There are ways powerful entities have historically used or displayed human bodies for magic, profit, and perverse fascination. So what's the implication here? It's that Balenciaga might be a part of a lineage of exploitation and witchcraft that quite literally spans centuries. And it's just updated for the Instagram era. But There was more. In dissecting the details of Balenciaga's campaign, eagle-eyed internet sleuths claimed to spot references to infamous court cases involving child abuse or coded messages buried in the set design. And I took a look at this myself. It is unsettling. And it's widespread knowledge at this point. This is kind of an old thing, but of course, if you remember, Balenciaga swiftly blamed external creatives and launched lawsuits. But the initial damage was already done. Conspiracy forums erupted with these theories that linked the brand to secret societies, which is real, by the way, and also to real or at least metaphorical child sacrifices, and also to centuries-old rites that were practiced by death-obsessed cults. Skeptics dismissed these as overblown paranoia, but the brand's hasty, kind of contradictory responses did very little to take the suspicion off of them. All these child-themed images just continued to reignite debate about the ethical limits of fashion and the power that the industry has. If an industry built on appearances can so casually cross these lines involving minors, who's to say it would not breach more sinister boundaries when the cameras are off? I just saw a guy get arrested and sent to prison because he had AI images of child. He's in jail now. Meanwhile, these people, they get nothing, but they can do it like out in the open. If you don't believe me, have you ever heard of Christie's? Yeah, it's owned by Balenciaga, or at least owned by Kering that owns Balenciaga. Check it out. I have to blur the entire page because I'm sure you can tell by the outlines what you're seeing. These are children, human children that are made to look different. There have been private parts placed all over their bodies in random locations that they're not supposed to be in. And these are highly graphic images. I'm blurring it because I'm not going to risk the account for this, but it's insane. And this is public. This is a website. I found this accidentally surfing the web. How do you explain that? A lot of these children are dead, cut up in pieces, or modified body parts being attached to locations they shouldn't be. What are we seeing here? And when it comes to the question of Isaiah Bass, the designer's disappearance, overshadowed by the child ad fiasco, remained completely unresolved. Online communities wove elaborate narratives about how Bass uncovered more than just design theft. Perhaps he stumbled onto an entire system of illicit dealings. One rumor insisted that a disturbing piece of evidence did exist, and that was human remains that were used in garment construction, or at least displayed like trophies in certain behind closed doors circles. Outlandish? Of course, but outlandish rumors often sprout from a seed of truth, right? Especially when an industry that is used to commanding enormous wealth and secrecy just finds itself in the crosshairs of public scandal. At that juncture, though, we see some parallels emerging. We got stolen body parts in Nigeria for magical remedies. We have embalmed monks hidden in statues for spiritual reasons. We have mannequins rumored to be filled with human remains or be humans themselves. We have traveling cadaver shows that might have people who aren't even supposed to be there. So could it be that the legacy of disrespecting the dead and even children just happens to find a comfortable home among certain elite corners in the fashion world? And, you know, the musician world and the actor world and all of those Hollywood elites. Might Balenciaga simply be one more of those brand caught in the spotlight? They're just one of them, guys. And why is that so hard to believe? We see them constantly pushing this type of stuff. Alternative Minders noted that there was something else going on too. Balenciaga's creative direction, especially under high-profile designers and creative directors, at times leaned into a very religious or occult motif. there were shows that flirted with fetish or bondage themes and campaigns set against gothic backdrops. There were cryptic messages that were kind of like woven into the garments. And none of this is necessarily unique to Balenciaga, but the controversies cast these creative decisions in a new, unsettling light. Because so much of the secret messages were referencing Balenciaga, and the fact that Balenciaga in Latin literally means do whatever you want, and that is the one rule of Satanism, do what thou wilt. So yeah, the Osiris myth kind of took off a little bit here. It's believed to be more than just an ancient Egyptian story. Osiris? Some argue that it encodes a method for bridging life and death. And you can read the Egyptian Book of the Dead to find out more about that. It is a crazy book. I don't necessarily recommend it, though, because there's really no point. But it essentially involves harnessing energies in a body, in the human body, and even in the postmortem state. Mummification, then, would be sort of this archaic technology for preserving those energies. Translating that into the modern context, these theories kind of showcase parallels in how certain industries, such as the fashion industry, display or distort the human body. So it's not really that far off to also lump in there how mannequins are sometimes rumored to be real cadavers, especially when we have examples of real cadavers masquerading as mannequins. After all, if the fundamental principle is that living beings can draw power from the dead or from sacrificial acts, why not adapt it to the 21st century's multi-billion dollar industries? They're the same kingdoms. They've just evolved like everything else. Like, these houses go back hundreds of years. This is like Game of Thrones stuff. Like, you think they're not doing weird, shadowy stuff? Shady stuff? Of course they are. We see it happen. I mean, who knows how much of this is connected to, like, pizza. To the outside observer, though, it's gonna be pretty hard to imagine a runway show as, like, a ritual site. But runway shows, especially for high-end brands, are meticulously choreographed. This stuff is not random. They are psychologically charged spectacles. The lighting, the music, the faces of the models, the outfits, the overarching concept, it can all evoke these powerful emotional reactions in the audience, just like going to a concert. In the wake of the child-themed scandal, conspiracy chatter soared about prior Balenciaga shows, and we started looking at that stuff. And people began to really go over all of the runway images and the marketing materials, and they started looking for cryptic symbols and references to hidden knowledge. And there were these stories of after parties popping up in secret locations, and they featured these sculptures reminiscent of embalmed remains of, or mannequins, styled to look very realistic. You have the spirit cooking, where you see the celebrities and the witches and the designers and the politicians all eating fake human bodies. Same thing. What is a mannequin? It's a fake human body. Mannequins don't just have to be standing up showing what an outfit would look like on a plastic person. Mannequin is a fake person. There's multiple uses for these things. You could even argue that a mannequin is sort of like a sarcophagus for a mummy. That's kind of what I'm getting here. I don't think that the actual body of Isaiah Bass is there. I think that it could be something that is very, very close to an actual body, and that maybe parts of the body are inside of it. Were all of these mannequins just high fashion props or something more? This rumor I don't see going anywhere anytime soon. And the brand, meanwhile, just continues to issue, you know, carefully worded apologies like they all do about all these child ads. And they just said, oh yeah, we'll do better. It was a terrible thing that happened. But then they just kept silent and all the other allegations disappeared too. So in a sense, that silence only fueled these conspiracies even more. And that they are still in our imagination, completely unchecked. So the key question remains, where does rumor end and reality begin? In the modern era of digital echo chambers, I've been talking about that a little bit lately, these echo chamber babies, they get in their echo chamber and they just hear the same things over and over. So a single unverified claim can totally mesticize into a labyrinthine conspiracy narrative. You do have to investigate. But you can also say that you get into your echo chamber where there is nothing but what they want you to hear being echoed back and forth across the walls. Somehow you always get the same 100 Google searches. Somehow your YouTube For You page is always the same because you're in an echo chamber and you are subjected to this kind of blindness. It can go both ways. I'm just showing how it can go both ways. You know, critics point out that everything from mind-controlled NPCs to archaic cannibalistic cults have been pinned on Balenciaga without definitive proof. But when you take all the isolated incidents, the isolated people involved, what they like to do in their free time, who they affiliate with, and then you combine it with this stuff, it's kind of unfortunate what you see. Because the allegations about corpses displayed as mannequins and all this other stuff doesn't really seem that far out of the realm of possibility. The disappearance of Isaiah Bass remains an open wound. Some of you guys, I made a post on YouTube that I was going to upload this, and some of you guys were like, at least one of you guys was like, you know, I know exactly what you're going to talk about. It's probably this because it's an iconic case. Bodies are going missing all the time. It's insane how many bodies go missing. Like, and there's no, the craziest thing is after you drop the dead one off where the dead one goes and you walk away, you're not thinking about where the dead body is. You're not like, oh, I gotta go make sure the body's there. No, dude, you're mourning. The body is gone. The Balenciaga story is all obviously the ultimate crescendo for this whole mannequin conspiracy. It's a venerated, century-old fashion house with global reach. And it's all linked to themes that we see etched across the entire tapestry of human history. This preservation of the dead for esoteric or even commercial purposes. Now, the Egyptians had hieroglyphics, they had chanting priests, they had temple rites. Balenciaga, if they don't have that stuff, they probably do. It's just hidden behind the closed door. I don't understand why, like, so many times when people try to argue why this stuff couldn't possibly be true, they're like, well, it's because there's no proof. What, do you think they're going to show it on mainstream news? You think they're just going to come out and be like, look, we sacrificed somebody. See? All your rumors are true. No, dude, like, they're not going to tell you that they sacrificed somebody. They're not going to tell you that they put bones in, or flesh or DNA inside of a mannequin. They're not going to tell you that, yes, they may be doing something they shouldn't do involving minors. Like, they're not going to say that stuff. Why would they? But then all of these people are like, well, see, that's why it's not true, because they never said they did it. Well, dude, this is why people unfollow me. I gotta control my attitude. I have to get better at it. But some of this stuff, man, I can't believe. Because I already can see the comments coming. Everybody's gonna be like, this is ridiculous. This is fear-mongering. This isn't true. I bought Balenciaga the other day and the cashier was so nice to me. And I swear, dude. Now, for skeptics, of course, it's just all too easy to label the whole Balenciaga controversy as a freak accident of poor taste. The Isaiah Bass story could be nothing but just an unconfirmed rumor. But we see bodies missing from these people all the time. The references to child, like, what happened to Obama's chef? Does anybody know? Like, that kind of stuff happens all the time. Just look up this.
What happened to all the people that have been unalived, who were under the service of HC?
If you don't know who HC is by now, just put it together. She ran for president. Stuff is happening, guys. You gotta wake up and see that stuff is happening. and you can't just say it's not happening. So you can go ahead and say that that's not Isaiah Bass, but you can't say stuff's not happening. And you can't say, would you accidentally post a little child in photos like that? Ask yourself that. Would you accidentally do it? If you wouldn't accidentally do it, would you purposely do it? And if you wouldn't purposely do it, why is it okay for them to do it? I'm just saying, it's clear that they're doing it. And if you wouldn't do it, but you're supporting them in doing it, it's kind of weird. But anyway, for skeptics, eat your heart out. You guys can have this video and tear it apart. So what are we left with? At the very least, we see a pattern, right? A repeated willingness to exploit the taboo aspects of mortality for spectacle, for profit, for communication with the spirit world, probably all these things. There's this line crossing that older cultures once marked off with rituals and reverence. And a lot of these types of activities are mirrored in ancient history as things that were very powerful to do or engage in. The Egyptians mummified their dead within a sanctified framework, believing that they were preserving life's essence for a sacred afterlife. But in our commercialized epoch, that same fascination seems to have devolved into things like traveling body worlds and sinister brand campaigns, courting shock value and culminating in controversies that might mask something that's far more insidious. You gotta figure that all of the attention put on this imagery might be intentional. They might want you to think they're doing that. Not because they're not and they're playing a game, but because they are. And they want you to be distracted by the ad campaign. You are buying in to the ad campaign. We're no different than the ancient Aztecs, guys. Literally no different than the ancient Aztecs. Obsessed with death on every single level. I'll leave you with this. History teaches us that the boundary between moral society and macabre exploitation can be shockingly permeable. Whether one believes in these ancient predators, the Nephilim, or merely the timeless capacity for human greed, there is no denying the resonance of these stories. Don't look at it from any single spiritual or religious mindset. Just look at it from human level to human level. It's wrong to post pictures of kids like that. It's wrong to kill people and stuff them inside mannequins. Okay, I figured it out. It's messed up. It's kind of screwy to create this obsession with death, as we see with celebrities carrying their own heads or eating mannequins or whatever. The whole thing is just this obsession with cannibalism, eating the dead, showcasing the dead for all to see, and everybody just goes along with it. Come on, guys. Don't drink the water. Question everything. Please follow my Patreon. I'm literally dying out here. Thanks, bye.